Hi, I'm Lydia Bastianich, and you're listening to Food Fridays on The Leonard Lopate Show.
No food is universally associated with joy and celebration as the cake, whether it's a humble slice of pound cake eaten with a morning cup of coffee or a multi-tiered wedding cake that accompanies a lifetime commitment. The variety of cakes reflects our simple need to get together and enjoy life. Amazingly, Martha Stewart waited more than 25 years to come out with her first cake book, but it's here at last. Martha Stewart's Cakes is a collection of more than 150 recipes, as well as a treasure trove of hints, tips, and instructions for making, decorating, and serving cake. It's published by Clarkson Potter, and I'm very pleased that it brings Martha Stewart back to our show today. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
Wasn't your book Pies and Tarts published in 1985? What happened to cake?
Well, I have cakes in other books, but never a big collection like this all together.
Well, it's a wedding cake book.
There is. And that's a very fun book, but that's more about technique. There's some basic delicious cakes in that book, but it's more about decorating techniques.
And wedding cakes are a once-in-a-lifetime animal.
Right. But that book was more for the whole weddings industry and for every bride to look at and gaze at and think about and every caterer, et cetera. But this is for everybody. And I've been baking a lot of these cakes lately because I entertain a lot. And in the fall, there's a recipe for a pear cake in there that is so delicious. And I have a tree that's laden with delicious buttery pears, perfect for that cake. So when you page through, you know, just go page by page. You ask yourself, I want to make that one. Yes. And I now have a game I play with my granddaughter, who's 2.5 but loves books, and especially beautiful books. And I went through that book with her, and she just, Paige, do you want to make that one? Yes. And she's never even really had cake, but she knows that it's good.
Well, the photographs are so beautiful. I'm wondering whether people aren't going to look at them and say, I could never do that.
Well, these aren't so fancy. If you look through very carefully through the book, they're not fancy cakes. These are cakes for every day, for every occasion, for and just treating somebody to something good. I didn't bring you a cake, Leonard. Are you going to be mad at me? I didn't bring
No.
you a cake. I should have brought you a cake. How awful
You
of
should
me.
Have brought me a cake.
I should
but
have.
It's okay.
I
would have expected
that's
a cake.
That's right. I would have baked you a cake. I had a root canal this morning, so I'm not 100% in the baking mood.
Should I assume that the expression easiest pie has some justification, but that there's a good reason that we don't say easiest cake?
Yeah, because cake is has generally more ingredients. Generally, there's a special pan associated with every cake. There's always a measurement, a 9-inch round, a 2-inch deep, a bundt pan, a sponge pan as for a cake, for a sponge cake, a tube pan for an angel food cake. So you have to have quite a big battery of cake pans to make the cakes.
Is cake more like bread when you consider all of the complications? Because measurements are so important, for example.
Well, I think bread's easier than cake because cake also has fillings. Cake has icings. Cakes have frostings. They have glazes. They have soaking liquids. They have maybe roasted coconut to press into the icing. So there are a lot. It's complicated. They're more complicated, but yet again, these are not hard to make cakes. And once you master the fine points of baking, and there are some that are associated with pies and tarts as well as with cakes as well as with breads, once you know sort of the basics, you can make pretty much any cake you want.
But I'm assuming that pound cake or a bundt cake is a lot easier to make than a layer cake.
Not necessarily.
Because a layer cake, in the end, each layer is the equivalent of making a pound cake.
Well, no, but you will make them all at once and you just pour them. You have to divide the batter evenly between prepared cake pans for a layer cake. But a bundt, a pound cake, if the measurements aren't right and the baking isn't perfect, the pound cake can be wet and soggy in the middle. It can be too dry. It cannot come out of the pan. So you want it to taste, you know, that buttery, a pound of butter, a pound of sugar, a pound of flour.
You
that
note
kind
that.
Of really pound cake.
Well, you note that the Bundt Pan is an American original. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just assumed because of its name it was German.
No, but there's a family in Minnesota who made the first Bundt cake pan, and it's made out of a special heavy alloyed metal. It has a very specific shape, and it's a funny shape. I, for years, refused to make a Bundt cake because I didn't like the shape. But I've gotten used to it, and it bakes so well in a Bundt pan. And I think pretty much every kitchen in America now has a Bundt pan. Do you have one?
I have a Bundt pan,
yes.
But I know people who don't have a lot of these things, wouldn't have a Jelly Roll pan either.
Well, a Jelly Roll pan is like a cookie sheet. You know, it's the same as a cookie sheet with sides. So that doubles up at least.
How hard is it to get a Bundt cake out of the pan intact?
Oh, not hard at all, because if you bake it right and prepare the cake pan correctly, follow directions, because baking's an exact science, as you said. It really is exacting, and there's not a lot of room for finagling a recipe. Once you get a good recipe, stick with it. A lot of people say, oh, how do I make that cheesecake without a crack in it? I think that's one of our most asked questions.
And the answer is?
Follow the directions of a good recipe.
You have a list of golden rules for cakes at the beginning of the book. Are there certain ones that everybody should know?
Use good ingredients. It's very important to use good ingredients. We use unsalted butter at room temperature. Whereas when you make a pie crust, you have to make everything cold. Cake ingredients should pretty much be at room temperature. Makes it easier to work with. Have your oven calibrated so that the temperature is even.
That's the hardest thing with some ovens.
Yeah.
They either go too hot or too cold. You can't necessarily trust.
Well, then use an
the
oven
dial.
Thermometer. You know, I have oven even though I calibrate my ovens like every 4 months or so, I still use an oven thermometer just to check. Prepare your pans correctly and use the right size pan. If you're making a 9-inch layer cake and you use 10-inch pans, you're going to get little skinny layers that might not – it will bake much quicker than the 9-inch, and you're going to get the wrong kind of texture. Testing for doneness is another thing. Follow the instructions quite accurately.
You also say don't rush the mixing process.
No, don't rush, and don't overmix. One thing that people tend to do with these big, powerful, wonderful electric mixers that we all have now on our kitchen counters is to overmix. You can overmix. You can also undermix.
But what happens when you overmix? Aren't you just adding air into the batter?
Well, it toughens. It can toughen the batter. It can really make the cake not the texture that you really want.
Why do you advise people to rotate the cake pan during the process? Doesn't that disturb the rising process?
Not really, because of what you're trying to do is make sure you're checking your oven again. It's really giving your oven a chance to make an even cake, because it might just be a little hotter in the back corner, back right corner than the back left corner. And by rotating, you are giving the cake a nicer chance to rise evenly.
It seems to me that the cake is where your particular skills as a baker and as a craftsperson come together. Is a large part of the fun of making a cake the decorating part?
For me, it is. I love decorating cakes, and I love trying new recipes. I've just discovered a new flour called Double Zero Flour.
The Italians use
yes.
it.
Yes.
And I've used it in pasta, but you can use it in cake as well.
Oh, well, yes. Who knew? Now I'm making a lot of cakes, and you'll probably see another cake edition of Double Zero Flour cakes, because I just found that it makes – like my coconut cake was not the one that's in this book, but another coconut cake recipe. It was vastly improved by using the Double Zero Flour. I use that in my pasta all the time. It gives such a light, really gossamer texture to pasta.
Well, because it's incredibly fine.
It is very, very fine.
So that is the texture of the cake, and different flours get used for different kinds of cakes, don't they?
Yes, yes. There's cake flour. There's unbleached flour. There's you can use gluten-free flour now. Some of these recipes work very well with gluten-free. I've tried most of them, and the good gluten-free, like there's a flour out called Cup for Cup. With a number four in between. That is a very good gluten-free flour made with a lot of unusual ingredients, but it tastes good in the cakes. And there's so much gluten intolerance now that people – I don't want people to feel that they can't use these recipes if they can't have gluten, because you can substitute pretty much cup for cup. If you use the right flour.
Well, some recipes call for leavened flours, some for unleavened flours.
Right. So
I'm assuming that those cake flours like Presto are leavened flours.
Yes, those have – Presto has the ability to rise. Cake flour also is a mixture of cornstarch and bleached flour.
But why not just use your own cornstarch and buy that stuff in the box?
There are recipes that call just for cake flour, and they've been developed for the cake flour, probably by the cake flour manufacturer. You could add, and if you don't have it, and there's certain proportions that you can follow to make your own cake flour. But again, be careful if you want the right result to use what's called for in the ingredients list.
You talk in the book about the difference between a cup of sifted flour and a cup of flour sifted. How do I interpret that?
Okay, well, a cup of flour sifted is you measure a cup. And it's the right way. And again, keeping your flour correctly is a sign of a good baker. I decant or pour out all my flour, my big 5-pound bags of unbleached flour. I pour into giant glass canisters in my kitchen, so it's already aerated a little bit. And then I scoop a dry measure cup. Now, there's a difference between dry measure and wet measure cups too, right? You know, mm-hmm. Which ones?
What
is a wet measure cup? Do you know what it looks like?
That's the one that has the little – well,
that's
I have a
– that's generally –
has numbers on it.
They all have numbers.
Yeah.
But
no, but I mean inside.
But that's generally the Pyrex that you can pour out of. That's the wet measure. And it's hard to measure flour in one of those cups because you can't smooth the top with a knife.
Well, do you like measuring them by weighing them, as some
cake makers suggest? Yes, and if you are a European, you will be using a different system for measuring your flour and your other ingredients. And we don't do that in America. We somehow got into this cups and teaspoons and forgot the scale. And I sometimes check. I once was curious why a cake wasn't churning out right. Turned out that my wet measure cup was inaccurately marked. It went through a paint machine, I guess, to mark the levels wrongly. So the cups were larger than they were supposed to be. Now, that's a problem for a manufacturer.
It could even be a problem if you're measuring the liquids.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, you mentioned good ingredients. When it comes to flour, you said double O flour, but the many stores carry a wide range of flours. You can get everything from the store brand to Pillsbury and Gold Medal to King
right.
Arthur.
King Arthur, Hecker's.
Are there some that you prefer?
Oh yeah, I don't get paid for these by these people to say so, but I generally use a Hecker's unbleached flour for all my baking needs. I like Hecker's. I just like it. King Arthur is also a very fine flour. I use that a lot. I prefer using the unbleached flour.
But what's the difference between these brands and the other brands? Are they just made better?
No, they're different. They're different. Unbleached, the kernels of the wheat are not bleached, and a general Mills flour or a Gold Medal flour are generally bleached flours. And it's just what you prefer. I mean, I've just been, you know, my mother always, I think my mother always told me, always use unbleached flour.
There are some people you feel you don't even have to reintroduce when they're on a radio show. And one of those is Martha Stewart. Everybody recognizes her voice. She's here to talk on one of our Food Fridays about her latest book called Martha Stewart's Cakes. Her first ever book of Bundts, Loaves, Layers, Coffee Cakes, and more, 150-plus recipes, and plus because there were variations
on basic recipes. Yeah, variations. There's a lot of frosting recipes and of course, all the good golden rules and all of those other things in the book. So it's a helpful book, and it's in the series. I don't know if you've seen the cookies book or the pies and tarts book or the cupcakes book, but those are three previous books that are the same format, same beautiful photography, and they really do belong together on a cookbook shelf.
You've talked about your mother on the show in the past, and she was a great baker, wasn't she?
She was. She was a very good baker.
So, but when I think about you baking with her on your television show, it was mostly breads like Stollen or hot cross buns, things like that. Did she make any particular kind of cake for you on your birthday?
Well, I liked angel food cake. So I would get an angel food cake with strawberries from the garden because it was on August birthday and we still had strawberries in the garden and just mounds of freshly whipped heavy cream. That's one of my favorite cakes. And then for my dad's birthday, which was in August also, his preference was always mom's yellow cake. And the recipe is a very similar cake recipe in the book. A yellow cake filled with a lemon frosting or an orange and lemon filling, excuse me, almost like a lemon curd, but very thick. And then frosted with a bitter chocolate buttercream.
You mentioned earlier making a cake with pears when they're in season. We can talk about all different fruits that way. So in making cakes, should we think in the same way that chefs think about cooking in season when vegetables are just coming out of the farm?
Well, I like taking advantage of what's around. And if there are beautiful pears or tasty apples or wonderful strawberries and raspberries, take advantage of that and use those in your cakes.
What is it about cakes that make them so conducive to celebrations? Is it because they're sweet?
They're pretty. I think they're pretty. They're decorative. They make a presentation. You can bring out an apple pie and alongside it a beautiful decorated coconut cake, and more people will go for the coconut cake first than they will go for the pie.
There are certain – well, we talk about something being as American as apple pie. Could we say something is as American as red velvet cake?
Well, red velvet's a really interesting cake. It's pretty. When you cut into a cake like that or the rainbow cake, have you seen the rainbow cakes? They're layers of different colors of batter. They're quite impressive. For me, the amount of food coloring that goes into a real red velvet cake is so immense that it kind of – that's not my favorite.
But – maybe that's what makes it more American. It is interesting when you look at the different favorites in different cultures. Italian cakes are different than French cakes.
Oh, I love Italian cakes. Those
you prefer them to the French?
Many times, yes. There's one cake that you can get at a Cipriani restaurants. It's a very light sponge, a white sponge that's soaking wet and then covered with whipped cream and filled with lemon. That's a delicious cake. And a meringue on the outside, very just lightly toasted. Delicious cake.
When you're cooking other kinds of food, you can often make substitutions and not worry too much about them. With cakes, does that also apply? For example, you only have salted butter in the house. Can you just use it instead of the unsalted
butter? Well, yeah, the taste will be slightly different, but the reason I don't use salted butter is it's harder to get the high quality taste with salted butter. Sometimes the butter is too salty. If it's a expensive French butter or a Danish butter, it probably is okay. But sometimes the butters are just a little bit too salty. I'd rather add the salt than take a chance.
Do you think that there are some people who are just naturally cooks and others who are naturally bakers?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. What
do you think of yourself?
Well, I love to bake. I love to bake pies. I love to bake cakes. I love to bake breads. And I like to cook simple things, like my favorite things to cook are pastas, eggs, frittatas, salads. I like to cook everything.
But when you're doing cakes, the easiest kinds of cakes are cheesecakes. The hardest ones, I would assume, are the ones that have all of those fancy decorations, those roses.
Yeah. But you can make a yellow cake, for example, and not put any frosting on it. You can just sift confectioner's sugar over the top. If you make a Genoise cake and fill it with something delicious, some sort of jam or something. And that sometimes is such a satisfying cake. You can stencil a design on the top if you want in cocoa. There's many ways to make cakes that look very beautiful, and they're in the book, but aren't so difficult to accomplish.
Piper Kerman, author of Orange is the New Black, was a guest on our show, and one of the most remarkable descriptions in her book is how fervently the prison inmates celebrated occasions with each other, and how a system of microwave cooking and baking using gathered materials developed. Were you able to do that sort of thing?
Oh, when I was in Alderson,
mm-hmm.
First thing I did was make apple jelly, first thing. And I make baked apples because there were apple trees, and you could cook them in the microwave. But you'd have to find the sugar, and you'd have to find, if you wanted to make a custard, you'd have to find the milk. I made custard. I made delicious milk custard, too.
I suspect half of the other people there want to be your friend.
You couldn't find eggs.
That would make some baking
very
tough.
Very difficult. Yeah, I watched Piper's whole show. I thought it was funny, and I thought the girl who played her was not as good as Piper.
Now, if you were just going to make a birthday cake for someone you loved, which one would you do?
Let me see. Well, a friend just had a birthday. I made him the coconut cake because he loves coconut.
Oh, you have to ask the person,
yes,
what do you like?
Yeah,
chocolate, you want vanilla?
Yes, or know what they like. Mm. I could make my daughter any number of cakes and she wouldn't eat a piece of it because she doesn't eat cake. And you would hope, she bakes. She's baked probably all the cakes in the book, but she doesn't eat it. And
what's wrong with her?
She doesn't like cake. She likes to bake it, though. So it's funny. It just depends on who you are and what you're making for and what you're making for whom.
Well, some of the cakes you have here are classics, but some are unusual. Everyone's had carrot cake, but squash cake?
Yummy. It's incorporating the homely into something very delicious. And there's no reason not to use a pureed squash or pureed pumpkin in a cake. There are pumpkin cakes.
Do you have a preferable squash? We were talking to Melissa Clark recently about pumpkin pie, and she thinks the best pumpkin pies are actually made with butternut squash, not pumpkins.
Oh, well, I've made them out of acorn squash. That turns out to be a whiter pie, but delicious. I grow a special pumpkin, a French pumpkin, a poitron. And that is a very delicious pumpkin, a very dark orange, and it comes out to be kind of a dark orangey pie. That's good.
I noticed that you also have a recipe for Christmas fruitcake. Those are the things that are generally re-gifted. I hope yours is better than the one that somebody gave me last year.
Oh, I love my fruitcake. And I like white fruitcake, and I also like dark fruitcake. And the sooner you make it, like right after Thanksgiving, the better it is by the time you get around to Christmas.
We have some cake recipes from Martha Stewart's book on our show page at WNYC.org. The book is Martha Stewart's Cakes, our first ever book of buns, loaves, layers, coffee cakes, and more, 150-plus recipes. It's published by Clarkson Potter and has some of the most gorgeous photographs you've ever seen. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here. Thank you.